Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. The next 10 minutes are inspired by a great epic swim team rivalry and an odd drive. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the engine. My wife was a tremendous swimmer when she was younger. I was a pretty good swimmer, nothing crazy. Right, I never swam year-round. Well, I didn't in middle school, but I didn't swim year-round in high school. And if you want to be a really good swimmer, you got to swim year-round in high school. And her dad was also really involved in the swim team. And so, again, she was really good, even from a really young age, apparently. When she was like a six and under, she was setting records and doing really well at her swim club, which is awesome, right? I mean, not a surprise to me at all. She's a tremendous athlete. And she had a rivalry with this girl on her team. And I don't know why, but that's so funny to me because I just imagine these two little girls just going at each other. Just like apparently one of them would swim and set a record and then the next one would swim the next heat and break the record. And they'd just be going back and forth. It's like 5 and 6 year olds just getting after it. And I guess that's kind of how it was all the way through. Right? She had this other swimmer that was on the team with her through her adolescent years that really, really pushed her to get better and better and better. And the only time when she gave up a little bit of ground is when my wife started playing water polo very intensely, and she was, you know, doing these two sports. And it's my understanding that the other girl was not, and so my wife couldn't commit as much time to swimming, but obviously went to Cal and was on the water polo team at Cal, and you know, the rest is history. So it's still really funny to me though that she had this rivalry and she was pushing her to get, you know, better and better and better. And the concept of a rivalry is not something new, right? And especially competition. You see that everywhere in life, right? When you have people that are getting pushed by their competition, they obviously rise to the challenge, or they don't, right? But competition exposes you, right? It either brings out the best in you or you wither away like rotting fruit on a vine, right? Like you either rise up and are successful or you're exposed as, you know, the lesser of the two competitors. So competition is one of those very painful but very needed things if you're going to get the best result out of a group of people. And I don't really have any competition. I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately, and it's one of those things that I'm not necessarily upset about, but I've been thinking about. Because there are other tutoring companies in the area. Okay, they're, you know, On Track Learning or Barrier Tutoring, and Lafayette Academy is this classic one. And people call and ask me, they're like, well, you know, what about what separates you from these other people? And my response is always, oh, well, we're not in the same business. Like, well, what do you mean? They offer SAT prep. What do you mean you're not in the same business? I'm like, well, hang on a sec. You got to realize, if you're calling Lafayette Academy or you're calling On Track Learning, who are you working with? And they always stop and say, I don't know. What are their tutors? Like, exactly. You're not working with Lafayette Academy, a person. You're not working with On Track Learning, a person. You're working for an employee of the business who happens to be working there at this moment. And that employee might be different from today and tomorrow, right? You have no guarantee. When you're working with me, you're working with me. That's it. They kind of start realizing that. And there are just a lot of key differences between what I do. I'm actually engaged in teaching. Lafayette Academy is engaged in marketing and filling seats to fill their employees' hours, right? Like, there are just these differences. So for that reason and more, I just don't really consider them competition. And quite unfortunately, there's no one out there right now that is like an individual tutor that does what I do. I know that there are other people that are SAT tutors, but the vast majority of them are either part-time or they're just kind of peddling around. Like, tutoring is a very odd business to get into because there's zero entry level, right? So you don't have to get a degree in tutoring to be a tutor. And a lot of people view it as kind of like a part-time or like a space holder or kind of like, hey, I'm waiting for 6 months to go on to this bigger and better thing, so I'll just kind of tutor in the meantime. But very few, very, very few people take it as a profession long-term, and even fewer people commit themselves entirely to it. A lot of times people have other jobs that they're doing that could be a teacher at a school, and so they tutor on the side, and they're doing it for a long time, but they're not really full-time tutoring. So I don't really have any competition. And it's been making me think lately. I've kind of been telling my students, like, man, I kind of need an arch nemesis. I need somebody who's like diabolically planning to like take over my tutoring. Because I feel like if I had somebody that was planning to rob me of all of my students, to take all of my business, to like do a better job than I was doing, I feel like that would really push me. It would push me like my wife got pushed as like a 6-year-old. It would really take me to that next level of intensity. And I was thinking this as I was sitting in my classroom at 5:45 a.m. Working on an instructional video before I did a podcast and before I wrote emails to parents about the work we had done that week, the kids and I. And I kind of sat back and started thinking about it. And it was like, look, if you had somebody that was pushing you, right, in this way, would you really have gotten up earlier than 5:30 to make these videos that nobody's asking you to make and to write these emails that you're apparently the only one in the entire area that writes emails every single class? Like, would you really get pushed more by somebody like that? And I thought about that for a while because I never like the idea of underperforming. And at this point, to be completely honest, I don't know that I actually would. I think there would be more emotion involved with the things that I do, right? I might be more worried about them. Worried about their successes or failures. I might be more worried about how they would be received. But I don't know that I could actually do any better of a job, because I already am my own arch nemesis to some degree. Like, I already know where my cracks are. I already know where my weak spots are. I already know where I could do a better job. I'm constantly looking for these things. And when I find those things, I shore that piece up. And I'm the one that knows, right? I'm the one that knows what I could be doing better. Now, it's entirely possible that somebody could come on the scene and find some weakness in my game, right? That's fine. Something that I've missed or something that I haven't considered or any of that, right? I could be surprised. And that's a possibility. But in all likelihood, when I think about it, it's like, is it possible that somebody out there could push me harder than I push myself on a daily basis? Is it possible that somebody out there could get me to care about my students more or worry about their success more or need to find a way to do more for my students? It's possible, but it is not probable. I drive as hard as I can for my kids. And in my life, I push as hard as I feel like I can without coming apart at the seams already. And that's just my drive. It was my drive that I learned in college. It's the drive that I've carried with me through my life. And it's very odd for a lot of people, because I think a lot of people get very comfortable with the idea that they need a coach, they need external sources, they need somebody rooting them on, they need whatever it is. And that's fine. I think most athletes are like that. But it's kind of analogous to what my old rowing coach, Steve Gladstone, used to say. And he was quoting an ancient coach, not ancient, but kind of historical guy from the early 20th century, and their emphasis was always, look, when the athlete becomes his own coach, when he learns how to correct himself, when he learns how to drive himself, that's when he will take off. And that drive is very difficult to get for a lot of people. And again, a lot of people need that competition. They need that arch nemesis. They need that external source. But man, if you're relying on someone else, either a positive influence of a coach or a more negative, dark influence of an arch nemesis, man, your success will always rely on someone else. If you can find a way to drive yourself harder than anyone else could, be more ruthlessly honest, be more exacting with yourself, there is no one that will stop you. I'm Matt Todd, and this is Zines and the Drives Me. Go out and crush it.